So the scripture passage this morning is from Luke chapter 19, and I know your bulletin says 1 through 9, but Andrew told me to read 1 through 10, and since he's giving the message, that's what I'm going to do. All right. He entered Jericho and was passing through, and there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich, and he was seeking to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was small of stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all grumbled, "He has gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner." And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost."
Good morning. It is truly a privilege to be up here. I owe it all to my personal God and Savior, Jesus Christ. But I also want to acknowledge my ministry partner. I wouldn't be up here without her. Nika, I love you, and this is, it's, every time I do a sermon, Nika is my platform, my test platform. She's my sound check. So if it doesn't turn out well, blame the sound checker. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, shall we? Lord, we come to you today in all humility, not because we are worthy to be here, but in spite of our worthiness. And help us to look into the deepest nooks and crannies of our hearts and soul, and so that we can realize what is it that we are truly looking for. And are we doing enough to get there? And in Jesus' name we pray, on all God's people say, amen. Almost 19 years of marriage, I realized that Nika and I, we are very opposite. We like different things, we enjoy different things, but hey, she can tell you that I am a contrarian. I'm nothing but conventional. I've called Pittsburgh home for the last 13 years, but truth be told, I am not a conventional, what you might call it, Pittsburghese, Pittsburghian, Pittsburgher. I still don't understand going out to fish. And when I think of hunting, I'm not a hunter, but I do when, so there is a special group within this church that of enthusiasts. And when I think about hunting, I thought about this anime, this Japanese animation called Hunter Hunter. And I love it because it has such a good story. And the thing that is in common for all of us, me and you, me, even me, a contrarian, me and Nika, is that we love the power of stories. And the story called Hunter Hunter, the premise is that humans are always in search of something. Humans are always in search of something, so whatever we do, we are always looking to find something. And today, I would like us to keep thinking about that. What is it that we are looking for? Like I said, I'm not a conventional Pittsburgh citizen. Football, baseball, those are not my sports. My sports is basketball. So the feeling, I mean, I could not get enough of basketball. I mean, the feeling of the rubber or the leather against your palm, and then as you rise up, and then you flick your wrist, and then you see this beautiful arc, and you see the rotation of the ball, and then it splashes into the bottom of the net. I mean, that intoxicating sound, I could never get enough of it. It makes me go do it over and over and over again. In that sense, I understand the draw of fishing, hunting. When you cast that line, when you walk the hike, and then you try to aim for the next prey. It's just we are looking for something. But what is that something? For golf, for all of you who are golfers, the moment that the club strikes the ball just right and produces that twack or that ping sound. And for the techie, the next iPhone. For me, it's the next headphones. I mean, you can ask Nika. She got frustrated at how many headphones that I have. It's that moment when you put it on and you're just looking for that next high. For the hiker, it might be your next mountaintop. For homeowners, it might be your next home improvement projects. For Christians on Sunday, the next song that can lift our hearts? Or is it the next sermon that can teach us something new? We are all looking for something that can change our lives. But like I said in the beginning, what are we looking for in life, and are we doing enough to get there? What are you looking for when you decide to go to church today? When you're here seated, what are you looking for? But what about what you're looking for when you leave those seats? Luke 17, 18, and 19 is a section of the scripture where Jesus traveled to Jerusalem to face his crucifixion. And during his time, he met people. And the series is about meeting the different people that Jesus encountered, the different stories that Jesus told. And today, we're going to dive into the story of Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus is such a famous story for the Sunday school kids that there's a song about it. And whether we realize it or not, there's a lot of wisdom in that. You can kind of see why kids are attracted to the story, and I will get to that later. But let's take a look at the people whom Jesus met and to see what they are looking for. So we start with chapter 17, the Pharisees. The Pharisees are the philosophers at the time. They always go face to face with Jesus and ask him questions. Questions about whether dead people get remarried and marry again, whether when is the kingdom of God coming, and things like that. And they are looking for an answer to mystery. And Jesus's answer to that is that, no, it's not relevant. They were asking about the kingdom of God. When is it going to come? Jesus' response was, no, it's irrelevant. What matters is that when the Son of Man comes, is he going to find faith? And then we continue on with the little children. With the little children that are being brought, the parents are looking for the children to be touched by Jesus. So they're looking for Jesus' touch, for a blessing. And Jesus said, this is it. The childlike faith matters. The childlike faith matters. Whoever welcomes the kingdom of God like little children, that's what I'm looking for, or else you will never enter it. But what does that look like? The next one is an encounter with a wealthy young ruler. The wealthy young ruler was looking for eternal life. I would like us to slow down a little bit here. This young man has got it made. This day and age is the new age of prosperity. There are more new millionaires and billionaires coming up more than ever before. But they're always looking for something. They are still looking for something. This young man is looking for eternal life because there's something in his heart that says, this is not enough. What I have is not enough. So he's asking, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And then Jesus says, no, it doesn't matter what you do. Forget your wealth. Just come. Come and follow me. But then he was sad. He was sad because what he had was a lot. His wealth prevents him from gaining the very thing that he was seeking. Let's look at the world today. The world, what the world is looking for. So this is a plot of Human Development Index. Human Development Index is a measure that the United Nations use to measure our prosperity, our living condition. It takes into account the years of education, your life expectancy, and also the family income. And as you can see here, from 1990 and on, it's on an up trajectory, with the U.S. Starting at the top. Now we're still near the top, but according to the UN data, Denmark is the top now, with regards to Human Development Index. So as you can see here, the prosperity of the world keeps going up. We see advancements in technology. To call today's medicine modern medicine is an understatement. Because not too long ago, people are having back surgery with clamps and hammers and chisels. The advancement in technology is amazing. Things get cheaper all the time. I know that you think, oh my goodness, the price of eggs are getting more and more now. But compared to our income, the price of things are getting lower and lower. The screen. I mean, who would have thunk, right, back in 1990, that thing can be had for about $300? I mean, it's just astonishing. But of course, maybe that's not what people are looking for. So let's take a look at another thing. Peace. People want peace. Actually, the rate of violent crime has gone down significantly since 1990. But then again, why is suicide rates has gone up 35% since 1990? So we are more prosperous than ever before. We are more secure than ever before. But still, we are still lacking something. What are we doing that is not enough? And this is what Jesus was talking about. Jesus was talking about, so Jesus said, okay, do this, and this, and this, and this, so that you can gain eternal life. And then the young ruler said, I have done all those things. And Jesus said, there's one more thing that you're lacking. Folks, there's one more thing that we are lacking if we are not following Jesus. It's never going to be enough. No matter the amount of wealth that we have accumulated, no matter what kind of assets, what your net worth is, how good your job is, we are never going to do enough if we don't follow Jesus. But what does that look like? So we went to the next story, which is about Bartimaeus, the blind beggar. He is looking for mercy. He's looking for mercy, and he's looking to get his sight back. And Jesus' response was, your faith has made you well. Receive your sight. And then the man followed Jesus. If you look for Luke 17 through 19, there's a lot of words that are being repeated. Pay attention to those. So the word faith, the word following Jesus, the word welcoming Jesus, those are all there. So the blind man went and followed Jesus, and everybody praised God. That was last week with Pastor Jack. So let's get into Zacchaeus now. So Luke 19. Jesus entered Jericho, which is a prominent business center, and was passing through it. Now here's a man named Zacchaeus. I've felt a little bit of a kindred spirit with Zacchaeus because he might be one of those guys that are not conventional. He's shorter than most. And he was a chief tax collector. This is the first time the word chief tax collector is being used in the Bible. Usually it's about the tax collector and whatever, but this is the chief tax collector. And was rich. Does the word rich ring a bell? A couple of pericopes before about the rich young ruler. And he was trying to get a good look at Jesus. So he climbed up the sycamore tree. The sycamore fig tree is not very tall. It's not very hard to climb. But here you can kind of see the kind of faith that Zacchaeus has. Is that childlike faith. He disregarded his dignity and whatever. He just went up and I just need to see Jesus. What is he looking for? We don't know. He probably doesn't know what he is looking for. But he says, I want to see Jesus. And when Jesus came to that place, he looked up. He looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down quickly, because I must stay at your house today. So he came down quickly and welcomed Jesus joyfully. Again, the word welcome. That should ring a bell. But then when people saw it, they all complained. He has gone in to be the guest of a man who is not conventional, who is a sinner. But Zacchaeus stopped and said to the Lord, look, Lord, half of my possession I now give to the poor. And if I have cheated anyone of anything, I am paying back four times as much. We can contrast this with the response of the wealthy young ruler. When Jesus said, sell all you have and come follow me, he gone sad because he has a lot. Here's Zacchaeus, who was the chief tax collector. And he said, half of what I have, I now give to you, to the poor. And if I've cheated anyone's, I will make it right, fourfold. Then Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this household, because he too is a son of Abraham. So Zacchaeus looking for Jesus, and then Jesus responded with, salvation has come to this house. So going into the application, this story is not a hard one. There's no hidden meaning. It's just a simple story that children enjoy. But the application of it, what is the application? So the next time when you're doing something, think about what you are looking for. What is it that you're really searching for? The next time you are looking at your social media posts, when you're watching TV, when you're spending time with someone, when you're shopping, when you're working, What are you looking for? Realize that whatever you're doing, it won't be enough until it's about looking for Jesus and following him. But Andrew, what does the following Jesus look like? Is it about selling whatever we have and just become a full-time minister like the pastors here? I wouldn't be so sure about that. So you've heard it many times, life is like a wheel. But no, I'm not talking about the cyclical aspect of a wheel, you know, because the philosophy said sometimes you're in the top position, sometimes you're in the down position. It's just a rotation. But no, I'm not talking about that, because I'm inherently an engineer and I'm an automotive enthusiast. I'm going to view it this way. Life is like a wheel. Have you ever experienced a sensation when your steering wheel is starting to vibrate as you go up to a certain speed, and then you take it to the shop, and then the mechanic says your tires are out of balance? Life is like a wheel. You need to keep it balanced. What is it that you put at the center of your life? Imagine the things that you hold the most precious in your life. Is it your spouse? So you put your spouse in the center of your wheel. Or is it your job? You put it in the center of your wheel. But realize whatever you put at the center of your wheel, your life, God is going to be moved away from that center. And because God is this heavy mass, it's going to throw your balance off center. The faster you go, the more your steering wheel is going to vibrate. The more your steering wheel is going to vibrate, the rest of your car components is going to be destroyed. Your suspension, your wheel bearings, it's just going to be thrown out of whack. Friends, that is life. If you fail to put God at the center of your life is going to be thrown out of balance. And the faster you go, the more you are going to feel the effect. And the longer you go, the more brokenness you're going to experience. Remember, God is always going to be there. It's a matter whether you put him in the center so that he will balance out the rest, or whether you're going to put something in the center and then push God away. The farther away God is going to be pushed out from your center of your life, the worse the vibration that you're going to feel. So when God is at the center of your life, you would always ask, how can I glorify him today? Whenever you're doing stuff, when you're watching TV, when you're browsing through your newsreel, how can I glorify God when I'm doing this? Whenever we're working, we are earning money, we are accumulating wealth. How can I glorify God with what I have? Let's learn from Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus is doing just that. He saw Jesus. Jesus responded. And then he said, what I have is yours. What I have is yours. Friends, your work is never going to be important enough to sacrifice your relationship with your loved ones. But your loved ones, it's never going to be good enough to to put at the center of your life. The next like on your social media posts are not going to satisfy your thirst. Our good deeds are nothing but dung in front of the Lord. Our wealth are not going to bring us life. In fact, it's going to prevent us from living life that is intended by God. That new car smell, that new house smell, that new carpet smell is only going to last a minute. Follow Jesus. Make him the center of your life. You know, all this day and age, with all, you know, the human development index going up, we are more educated than ever before. We are more prosperous than ever before. We are more secure than ever before. This whole rampage of mental health problems and everything is the rage today. I'm not a mental health professional. I'll be the first one to tell you that. But I believe it would do us well whenever we are starting to feel, I'm not doing enough. I'm still looking for something. I feel sad. Go back to the story of the rich young ruler, the childlike faith, the blind beggar, Zacchaeus. Look to Jesus and say, what am I doing today to follow him? What am I doing today to glorify his name? Spiritual health is more important than anything else. Putting God at the center of your life will get rid of those nasty vibrations that you are experiencing at the wheel, especially if you're going faster. Because the faster you go, the more you are going to need God at the center of your life. When I was growing up, I pray before bedtime. I pray before my meals and everything. I pray out of formality because I'm a Christian. Can we pray out of... But these days, I pray out of necessity. I cannot afford taking care of my family, taking care of my ministry, taking care of my beloved mentees without having God at the center. Look for him. Look for him. And I will leave you with one thought. When you look for him, have faith that he will respond. When you look for Jesus, have faith that he will personally attend to your needs. The name Zacchaeus means God remembers. He doesn't know what he's looking for. He just went, I have to see Jesus. But Jesus remembers him. Zacchaeus, I remember you. I have to stay at your place. Lastly, let's look at Jesus. What is he looking for? Luke 17, verse 22. He said to the disciples, the days are coming when you will desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you will not see it. And then he goes on into saying stuff about what the day is going to look like. And verse 37. My bad. So it says at the when the end comes, is the Son of Man going to find faith on earth? He is looking for us to have faith in him. And then Luke 19, verse 10. The Son of Man comes to find the sinner, to find the lost. Have faith that God remembers us. Let's pray. Lord, we ask for your forgiveness because a lot of times we go out and we chase vanity. We put the relationships in our lives at the center of our story. We put ourselves at the center of our story. Put our work ahead of you. We put our asset ahead of you, our chasing wealth ahead of you. We ask for forgiveness, and we ask that you help us. You help us to realize that you are the only one worthy to be the center of our life. We want to follow you, Lord, and we want to depend on you for strength and for wisdom and for stamina and going through this life. Help us, Lord. And in Jesus' name we pray. All God's people say, who is this king that has welcomed us? If today you feel that you are not set free, that you are grinding through life, feeling that whatever it is that we are doing, it is never enough. Look to Jesus. Look to Jesus. He remembers your name. May the love of God the Father, the grace of his Son, Jesus Christ, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all from today on forward until the day we come face to face with him. And all God's people say,
amen.
Have a great week.